Good morning, fine listeners. Open your ears to the sweet sounds of the dollar bin. In today's show, we're going to have a little hodgepodge of different characters and voices to play along with. For starters, how about a little pre-Transformers movie, Expectations, by our man Brian Eisen.
I'm expecting the sequel to not be as good as the first one. I'm expecting not to like it as much. That's just kind of the nature of sequels. Most sequels aren't better, especially when they're not based around, you know, great storytelling. You know, it's a visual explosion movie. You know, it's a two-hour roller coaster, not a, you know, two-hour great story being told for the most part. So I'm not expecting to like it as much as the other. You know, there'll be some new characters introduced. You know, we'll see how that kind of goes. See, you know, how they amp up the action because it is Michael Bay.
Next up, let's see what Ted has to say. Oh, Ted.
Hey, yes, Ted calling in. Adam forced me to call in and talk about Transformers a little bit. So here I am. I have not seen it yet. It's Friday, and I plan on going to see it tomorrow, so I'll leave an updated message once I've seen it. But as far as expectations go, I'm expecting a big, flashy movie with a lot of Megan Fox, hopefully a lot of Megan Fox, hopefully less Shia LaBeouf than last time, and some big robots. And I'm guessing Optimus dies from the previews, or almost die, so I don't know, maybe too much to ask to see the Matrix make an appearance, but hey, who knows? So we'll see, but I'm not expecting much, you know, just big loud explosions and awesome effects. You know, looking at the Rotten Tomatoes scores and all the critical reviews, it seems like this may be the worst movie ever created, but yet everyone I've spoken to about it really, really dug it. So I think this just might be one of those bad, good movies, just like the first one was. It was a bad, good movie, or a good, bad movie. Yeah, that's probably is more accurate, good, bad movie. So that's all I'm expecting. So I don't go into these kind of movies expecting much. I mean, like, you know, guys at the booth at during HeroesCon were yelling at me because I said it looks like G.I. Joe is going to be okay because I'm just expecting it to be a good, bad movie. But we'll see on that. That's for a later date. But right now for Transformers, just hoping to be entertained for a few minutes. So hopefully that'll work out. And one last thing, if it hasn't already been said, I'm pretty sure it has. Just want to thank everyone that came by the booth and said hey, and to you know, so I can put a name with a face with a lot of you guys during HeroesCon. So that was really cool. Had a great time, and see you guys next year. I have some positive things to say about Transformers in a day or so. Talk to you later. Bye.
How about that for looking forward? Now let's take some time to look back, a little reminiscing with Joel and Adam. Listen as they talk what it was like growing up with those robots in disguise.
Hello.
Hey, is this Joel?
This is.
Hey, Joel, it's Adam.
Hey, Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. So I figured that you'd be a good Transformers guy. Did I figure correctly?
You did. You did. Most of my earliest memories are being about 10, 11 years old, rushing home from school and getting a peanut butter sandwich right before Transformers and G.I. Joe and He-Man came on, and swapping Transformers out on the on the playground and whatever. Yeah, pretty big fan.
Awesome. Are you have you read any of the Transformer comics?
I read a lot of the Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. I tried some of the IDW, and it's the stories are fine as far as that, but it's the artwork I just can't get. It's just not my style, and it just detracted me from the whole story. I kind of gave up trying to read them.
We kind of just jumped into it, but I'd like to introduce you. You are Joel, who posts on our forums.
As Joel.
No secrets.
Yeah,
there.
I don't have a cool name like T-Minus or the Black Glove, but...
What interests you about Transformers?
I can still remember it was third grade, and I remember being out on the playground, and one of the rich kids, Nick Catalina, his dad was the basketball coach for the college, and I remember he came in with this thing called a Go-Bot.
Yeah.
and was just showing off how his daddy bought him the latest 10 or so, the GoBots. And that was my first introduction, and it blew my mind. And about a week later, GoBots were no longer in fashion, and everybody started bringing in these Transformers. And I can still remember going to the Kmart, was the big thing we had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And going to Kmart, an entire row with nothing but Transformers was out. Every day it'd be out, and I would beg my mom every day, we got to go to Kmart. Because at the time, I had no clue that they released them on certain days.
Yeah.
And so we went for like 2 weeks and couldn't get anything. They were always sold out. Finally, I got there one day. Bumblebee was the only thing in the entire aisle. So that was the first thing I ever got, was a little tiny Bumblebee one. Of course, everybody else had Optimus Prime and Megatron. And, of course, when you're on the playground and you have Bumblebee, you got knocked out of the imaginary battle pretty quickly. But my family never had a lot of money. So, every 2 months, every 3 months, after a lot of begging, I'd get something. And my biggest regret was I never did get all the Devastator. There was one guy I never could find, so I couldn't complete that damn giant robot.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen him complete.
And it didn't get the right leg. And that, to this day, that has still vexed me. I wanted to put that thing together so bad. But, I remember, like I said, GoBots first, and then Transformers came, and then I was huge. I probably had 15, 20 of them. Favorites were the Dinobots.
Yeah.
I had those. I managed to get all of were the Dinobots. Right. And that made me cool at school for about a week and a half. And that didn't last long.
Now, I remember, like you had mentioned, not really having a lot of money growing up. I remember I didn't have a very big Transformer collection because they tended to be pretty expensive as far as toys of that age went, from what I remember.
I remember they were going for about $8.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, and
that's
so Transformers,
right.
I enjoyed the Transformers more, but I really ended up going more towards the G.I. Joe. I mean, you figure one Transformer for $9 or three G.I. Joe guys.
Yeah, I had the entire, I had G.I. Joes and I had He-Man toys. I did not have the luxury of the Transformers growing up. I had the only, I do remember having Bumblebee. I'd had him. I think he was like probably the one that everybody could always get a hold of.
I think he was probably the most mass produced out of all of them, if I had to guess.
And then
everybody I knew had at least, one Bumblebee, and one guy for some unknown reason had like 10 of them. Never could figure out what he was going to do with an army of Bumblebees, but okay.
And then I remember having the purple guy that turns into a gun.
I should know this.
I always forget his name.
I should have studied up before you called.
Oh, that's, you got a whole extra day.
That one I didn't get that one. I never got any of the big ones. And that was, the Megatron, never could find it. Optimus Prime, never could find it. All the big ones were always sold out. I always ended up with like the mid-level ones. Or the real cheap little tiny ones. Wheeljack, or Huffer. Those always ended up with. But my family growing up, it was didn't get a lot, and it took a lot of begging. And I can still remember we were going through a Sears, and Grimlock was there. And normally it was, all right, you have to ask once, wear her down. Spend 2 weeks wearing my mom down in order to get it. Mom, I've got to have this. This is okay, put it in the basket. Oh, shit, what? What about this one? Nope, just the one. Damn. Had my window.
Yeah.
The only time I can ever remember her just right off the bat going, put it in the basket. Most of the time I had to wear her down with begging and pleading and tears.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I did have Starscream. I remember getting him because I got good grades in school and I was allowed to get one toy, and that's who I ended up getting. I did get Starscream.
If I had been smart, I would have taken, when I was growing up, it was $10 an A. $5 a B, $3 a C, and so on.
It was something like that.
So after everyone, I'd walk away with $50, and my parents would take 40 of it, put it in a checking account, and I'd end up with $10. Which, to me, so what was the point of studying? I'm not going to see the money for another 13 years, but if I'd been smart, I would have, started buying more of the stuff myself. But, all the other ones, the city and Unicron, and no, that was, I could only hope for something like that.
Yeah.
So did you get to see the second movie already?
I have not. I have not seen it yet, and I don't probably plan on seeing it until it's on cable and I have cable again.
Yeah, you know, I can't bring myself to see the second one. After that great big middle finger that Michael Bay gave to me in the first movie, I just, you know, I was going to go on opening weekend, and it was sold out, and I was, you know, it's probably just as well sitting in a movie theater with a bunch of teenagers just doesn't do it for me, and while Megan Fox is a walking special effect, I can wait till, you know, I can wait till it comes out on DVD and then I'll pick it up or something. I just can't bring myself to see a movie that has a 20% fresh rating.
Yeah, and you know, it's my biggest thing is with the movie is I saw that first one. I saw that on TV. I know I didn't see it in the theater. I don't think, but I just didn't like it. I didn't think it had much substance to it. And as hot as she is, Megan Fox cannot act at all. She cannot act. Nobody in that movie could act.
What does it matter if the woman can act? I mean, you could put her on a screen brushing her teeth for 2 hours. I would still pay $10.50 to go see it.
My thing is this, and actually I posted on Living Between Wednesdays today because they had the whole discussion about Megan Fox saying that Wonder Woman is a horrible character, basically. Rochelle was a little upset about that, but...
I'm not that upset about it. Actually, that's a good thing. It means she's not going to screw that franchise up
Well, she's not going to, and that's the thing. But it's just like, you know, she is hot, but like, buy a magazine. Isn't that what the internet? Isn't that what the internet's for? I mean, I don't know. Well, she has no business reading lines.
The problem I had with the first one was twofold. I mean, number one, honestly, who cares about the humans?
Yeah.
I don't care about the humans. I don't care about Shia LaBeouf or whatever his name is that can't act either.
Yeah.
Don't care about what they're doing. And, you know, yeah, the robots look cool, but I'm watching the fight scenes like, okay, Optimus just did something to that guy. Did he kick him, hit him? Was that a headbutt? I couldn't tell what the action actually was.
Right.
The whole thing is directed like, you know, an attention deficit child with too much cola. I hated it. Felt bad about going to go see it. So I'm not going to go see the second one, I don't think. It's going to screw up too many more memories.
Yeah. Brian went and saw it. I haven't listened. He called and left a voicemail review. I haven't listened to it yet, but it's probably going to be posted after this discussion here. But yeah, I don't know. Terrence went and saw it too. And
You know what I did instead? Honestly, I haven't watched for. I went out and pulled the animated movie, and I watched that this weekend.
Now, see, the animated movie is awesome, and that I can talk about.
You know, the animated movie really is cheesy, but I remember being a child. I grew up pretty, you know, we didn't have cable or any of that other stuff, so my movie watching was kind of monitored, and I remember watching it, and the first cuss word I ever heard, he goes, open this damn thing, or this damn thing
yeah.
won't open. This
yeah.
is the coolest movie ever.
Yep.
Just for the fact that there was cussing in it. It was the coolest movie I had ever seen.
Okay.
It blew my mind. Optimus died? What?
Oh, I know. And it was, like, it's funny. As a kid, I didn't really see it as Optimus dying. I saw it as, you know, like, he had the crystal inside him. I saw that as his life force. And, like, for some reason, I saw it as a life transplant. And, like, Optimus was now living in this new machine. I didn't really realize until I watched it again when I was older that he had actually died. And I've been looking up Transformer toys for like this entire conversation, and it was Shockwave. That is who it was.
Shockwave, yes.
It was Shockwave.
That's right, yes. I didn't have that one either, darn it.
Yeah, that one, that was like a really cool one because it turned into a laser gun.
Yes, they had the one eye in the center. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
Yeah, no, I figured I'd rather go watch the animated movie, something that was halfway decent as opposed to this.
Yeah, I'm so surprised that I don't own the animated movie. I thought I did, because I have the G.I. Joe animated movie, but I do not have Transformers one. And that movie, I remember when that came out, the G.I. Joe movie actually scared me when I was a kid. I wasn't a big fan Cobra Commander being turned into a snake.
Oh, a snake, yeah.
But even looking back at the Transformers animated movie now, it looks awesome. I mean, yeah, it's cheesy, but it's good animation, especially for that time.
Can you really beat White Lion doing the theme song?
No, you can't.
80s no. Cheese right there. I mean, I'm dating myself. The first, it was the first, my parents had a Beta player, and they bought some of the Transformers individual episodes on Beta.
Yeah.
It was the first thing my parents bought.
Lucky you.
And, of course, then Beta went out like 6 months later, and we had to buy the VHS, but we had to rebuy everything.
Well, we had...
But, it's huge, man, ever since. And I've got all the ones on DVD. I've got the first two seasons, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched any of those?
I got to say I did, and it's boring as fuck.
It is painful. It's painful. Watch the first couple episodes, and their hands are transforming into giant spikes. And
yeah. Oh man, it is. I don't think I've watched it since the first time I watched it when I got those DVDs, and I was like, oh my god, I've got these. This is going to be amazing, and I fell asleep while watching it. It was so boring.
You know, I did that, but I've actually rewatched the G.I. Joe ones.
Oh, see, I haven't gone back and watched those yet. Like I said, I have the movie for G.I. Joe, but I don't have the series.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have the G.I. Joe series.
You know, I catch myself going back and you start watching the two-part episodes. I actually am more of a G.I. Joe fan than I am a Transformers fan, but they both, both are my earliest memories of anything. But yeah, the animated the animated TV shows just honestly sucked so bad.
Yeah.
I had no clue at the time that it was just a... And that's what gets me. It escaped me that it was a 22-minute commercial.
Mm-hmm. And I just came across Pepsi Prime.
Which one is it?
Pepsi Prime. It's Optimus Prime.
I've never heard of that one.
It's Optimus Prime, but he's a Pepsi truck. Pepsi Prime. I did not know that existed.
Limited edition.
I'm sure it had to have been. Yeah. I never even heard of that. That was it's 1984 is when Pepsi Prime came out. It's in the first
Pepsi Prime.
The first generation.
No, I missed that one.
Yeah.
I didn't get that one either.
1984, the first generation. Pepsi Prime was one of the characters. One of the toys, at least. Have you watched any of the newer Transformer animated stuff, like the Beast Wars or any of that stuff?
You know, I tried watching when it was Beast Wars.
Yeah.
I went, this is the most suck-ass computer animated thing I have ever seen.
Yeah.
I just could not make myself watch it. I watched like two episodes, and this isn't my Transformers.
That's what happened with me.
I don't want anything to do with this one, and I turned it off. I guess I'm getting old.
I think I watched maybe one or two episodes of that before I was just like, what is this? I mean, are these the same characters? What is this just a retelling? I didn't get what it was. I didn't know if it was a continuation.
I couldn't follow it. And, you know, I really had a problem after the Transformers movie came out, the animated one,
mm-hmm.
trying to watch when it took place in the future.
Yeah.
I was like, what? It was like an alternate universe. Transformer thing, as near as I could tell. This isn't the Transformers that, of course, it took place, what, in the future year of 2005?
I don't know.
I remember. Yeah, you know, because we're in outer space now with the flying car.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't exit after the movie. That was it. That was the high point. I heard cussing in a movie, Optimus died. That's it. Close the book. I don't need to see anymore.
To me, that movie was basically the end of Transformers for me. Was the movie
that was me too? I checked out. Like I said, I tried to watch some of the others, and I just couldn't get into it. And I just, you know, I said G.I. Joe was still good at the time, and some of the others.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, like going back and looking back at the actual Transformers animated series, it just isn't that good. But I still stand by that movie being very entertaining, cheesy but very entertaining, and full of great quotes.
Loved it.
I can't. All I can remember right now is bomb wheat, bomb wheat, mini bomb. and I mean, those guys were awesome, man. And the boy and boy, and like, you know, they're doing that. Oh, the commercial thing. Good stuff.
Well, you know, anytime you can work Weird Al into your soundtrack, that's always a plus. Now, did you have one toy that was just like your holy grail, the one you just had to have that you never got?
Well, I mean, I don't think I ever had any of the Dinobots, and I always wanted to own those. However, I gotta say that probably the one that I wanted, that I can remember the most, was Soundwave. Yeah.
The one that escaped me, and I wish I had gotten it, was Jetfire, the he used to be a Decepticon and then changed sides over to the Autobots. He was a big jet plane,
uh-huh.
Red and white. I don't know if you ever, that one not strike a bell?
I can't, not really. I'm looking it up right now.
He was just this massive one, and I still remember the one in the TV show. He was frozen in ice.
Yeah.
And they found him, thawed him out. He was originally Starscream's best friend or something.
God.
What? And then he changed size, and then they tried to kill him. But he was the one I wanted to get the most. Optimus would have been cool. But I knew I didn't have a chance at that one. But I always thought, if I could just get Jetfire, this is the most awesome one I wanted. That, or like I said, to finish off Devastator. Like I said, it pissed me off that I got 5 of the 6. I never could find that last one. So yeah. My Devastator was kind of hopping around on one leg during battle.
I mean, I guess the thing I always loved about Soundwave is, I mean, I'm all about music anyway and stuff like that. So just the idea that you could, I really like the fact that you could put Transformers inside him.
Oh, that was awesome.
You know, like,
I with Soundwave, when the little cassettes that came out, I always wanted to get all those. I always thought those were the coolest things, the little mini ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I really loved about him, is that he had these little other Transformers inside him, which was pretty cool to me. It was before the whole Devastator.
I loved that. That was awesome. And then they had, what was the Autobot one that did the same thing? I forget what his name is. That ejected his own cassettes.
Yeah, they're like, just this website is awesome, by the way. It's I can't pronounce. It's SEIBER. I guess Cybertron. Some reason. Yes, never mind. I can pronounce it. It's Cybertron.com. SEIBERTRON.com, and they have like pictures of every Transformer in existence, and they're all broken up into generations, and there's like all the different versions. I mean, like, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 13 different sound waves.
They have that many?
Yeah, I mean, just re-releases and redesigns.
That's depressing. I didn't manage to get any of the 13. That's,
yeah,
that's even worse. My childhood sucked even more than I thought.
Well, it's like, I mean, like, well, that, oh wait, that's counting, like, okay, there's Soundwave the Mighty Mug. And then
okay,
there's like a Soundwave, whatever those little, what are those little miniature toys that are coming out nowadays? Those little
Yeah, I had those. You know, the one thing, even to my child mind now, going back to the cartoon, was, did you ever notice how Megatron kept changing size? He would be this big towering thing, then he would transform, they'd be able to hold him in his hand?
Yeah, and that's one of the things I want to ask Andy Schmidt about, because apparently IDW, in the books in IDW, is the first time it was ever... mass displacement, as they refer to it on, I believe I saw it on Wikipedia. Mass displacement was the first time it was ever covered, was in IDW's Transformers. So I want to ask about that.
Did you ever wonder where Optimus Prime's, where his trailer in the back, where that thing disappeared to?
Yeah, it's like he just kind of left it behind.
And I remember as a child, on my tape, I would fast forward, it would just disappear into this cloud in the background.
Yeah, yeah. I did wonder about that. Even the toy for Optimus Prime, I really dug him, but then it was just like, what do I do with this trailer? I mean, it opened up and there was like a command center inside it or something.
And a little buggy of some sort. The biggest problem I always had with my Transformers was, in order to do some of the transforming, I always ended up breaking most of them. Because the legs never folded out like they were supposed to. You always had to pull them slightly out, and I ended up breaking the majority of them.
Did you make the sound when you transformed them?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, and even today, when I went to Bakersfield Comic Con last year, I had a guy with the Transformers out there, and I was still at 34. I looked at the guy and he's like, don't worry about it, everybody does it.
Well, like, the, like,
it made me feel a little bit better.
It's like looking back, like when you're a kid, I mean, it actually takes a lot longer to transform them in real life than it does in the cartoon, so you'd be like,
yeah, exactly. You just can't transform them without making the sound.
Were you impossible?
You must do it, or the transformation isn't complete.
Were you disappointed that the movie only did it the one time?
Yes. Yeah, it's you know, it's, again, it goes back to Michael Bay should never, ever, ever be allowed to film another thing in his life. I don't care if it's a Pepsi commercial.
Oh, I disagree with that. I think if Michael Bay made a movie called Explosions, it would be an awesome, awesome movie.
Explosion the movie?
Yes. If there was
Pearl Harbor?
No, that was lame, historical, inaccurate love story thing.
I just don't see why they keep shoveling $200 million at the guy.
Oh, I think he can do things for less, but I think if I saw Explosion the movie directed by Michael Bay, I would probably go see that in the theater.
Well, you know, I was willing to give it a shot because it said executive produced by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all right, the man knows his movies, right? He's going to rein Michael Bay in. He's going to go, seriously, you want to shoot that? But apparently, you know, all he did was, yeah, put my name at the front, give me a big check, and had nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah, I'm really interested in what other people are going to say about this new movie. I know Brian is, because I know I complained about not liking Transformers, and everybody was just like, how could you not like that? You just go and you watch Explosions and Megan Fox. And it was like,
I wanted
a movie. I wanted a movie.
Okay, you know what? I don't care that it is based on a series of toys. You know, I don't care that it's based on a series of toys. Come on. The Dark Knight is based on a man with mother and father issues who grew up insecure, who dresses as a giant frickin' bat.
Right.
And we can have a best supporting actor win. You know, that's okay. You know, that we got to have a story for. But talking robots, no, that's too far out. It doesn't matter what the source material is. You know, I don't care if it's Rubik's Cube, the movie. You know, get a good writer on it, you could actually turn out a pretty good movie.
Okay, I'm now taking pitches for Rubik's Cube, the movie. So
hey,
if anybody wants to
combine that with Speed, put Keanu Reeves in that thing. If you flip this any faster than 3 sides per second, it'll explode. I don't know. You could do something with it.
If anybody wants to send me any treatments of Rubik's Cube, the movie, I will direct that and produce it.
And I still think you'd probably do a better job than Michael Bay.
I think the movie would probably be about 7 or 8 minutes long, and if all goes well, the Rubik's Cube will explode at the end.
You know what? You get Megan Fox to turn that thing all sweaty with a low-cut shirt. You can make $60 million easy opening weekend. You shoot it for $1.50.
Yeah.
You know, put it out in the movie theater. You talk about profitable.
I wonder what Megan will cost. I'll have to get my people to contact her people.
Well, that doesn't exactly sound right. It's, you know, you're not going to the Bunny Ranch.
Well, anything you want to throw in, Joel?
Save your money. Don't go see this thing. Wait for it to come out on cable or do what I'm going to do. The dollar movie is right across the street. I'm going to wait till it comes out and pay $1.50 to go see it.
You still got dollar theaters out there?
You know what? They opened up one last year.
That's awesome. They've all dried up everywhere I've lived.
You know what? They opened up one last year. It used to be a movie theater. It sat for God knows how long. I think they said about the last 6 years. It's $1.50 to get in. They make all their... Of course, it's, you know, $15 for popcorn.
Right. I was just like, God, I mean, you would think a reel would cost more than that. Because, I mean, they got to pay for it. They got to lease the reel.
Well, you know, by the time they put it out, you know, it's, you know, what, 2 months, 3 months old?
So what happens to all the reels when they're done being...
They're sent back, and they're sent back, and they're melted down to get the silver out.
Really?
Or at least that's what it used to be, because there's silver inside.
And I guess they keep, what, a couple copies in the master?
Inside the negative.
Interesting.
So they can actually reclaim it and get the silver and sell it.
Well, I've learned entirely too much.
I'm an uber geek. That's why.
I've learned entirely too much.
Well, I appreciate you giving me a call, Adam. Like I said, when you're doing that that G.I. Joe movie, let me know.
Yeah, that's, what's that, August we're looking at G.I. Joe?
I think it is. I'm not holding out a lot of hope from what I've seen.
Oh, God,
with,
the trailers look awful.
Bio suits and all that other crap. But yeah. You know what? I gave Transformers a shot to rape my childhood. I might as well go ahead and give this a shot, too.
Well, hopefully I'll get an interview. IDW owns G.I. Joe also, so hopefully hopefully I'll get something from IDW on that one, too.
And I look forward to hearing that interview then.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot, Joel.
Hey, thanks, Adam. Talk to you later, buddy.
Bye. That is the past. Welcome to the present. Listen in as we discuss with IDW Transformers editor Andy Schmidt some of the many aspects of current Transformer
continuity, as well as how we all got where we are.
This is Andy.
Hey, Andy, this is Adam with the Dollar Bin.
Hey, how you doing?
You still got a few minutes?
Yeah, just a few.
All right, hey, thanks a lot for your time, man. I'm sorry I've been such a pain.
No, it's all right.
I guess, well, first off, what is it that you do with IDW exactly?
I'm their senior editor, so right now I'm editing the G.I. Joe line and the Transformers line, and that pretty much includes all the books.
So you're doing both of those?
Yeah, I'm actually working on both.
So I'll get to hassle you in about a month or so about G.I. Joe as well?
Absolutely.
what got you working with on the Transformers title?
On the Transformers titles, I was already working with Hasbro with G.I. Joe when I got hired on at IDW. That was my main focus, and I just sort of developed a good relationship with them. And the Transformers books, because of the movie and the additional titles, just needed some extra help, and so I wound up sort of transferring over onto them. So I've been working on them for a few months now, and I'm really just sort of getting the big plan together at this point. But the funny thing was when I came on board at IDW, they said, you know, I could sort of probably do either G.I. Joe or Transformers. And I said, I chose G.I. Joe. And the reason I chose G.I. Joe is because I'm a bigger Transformers fan.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a fan of both. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But G.I. Joe had two things. One was, I could trust my instincts as an editor a little bit better,
right.
Because I don't have like this like love of G.I. Joe that's pure, and so it has to be this thing that I remember in my brain from my childhood. So it was a little easier for me to just sort of go in and sort of redefine it for today, or help redefine it hopefully for today. Plus, G.I. Joe was also starting over. IDW had just gotten the license, and they hadn't actually launched it yet, so I was able to really get in on the ground floor there. So that was very appealing. And with Transformers, like, I'm such a big Transformers fan from being a kid,
right,
that my struggle, and it's not like I'm incapable of thinking in new ways. It's just that my first instinct is, you know, to default back to that 80s cartoon, and you know, that Optimus Prime is this. This is who he is. This is who Megatron is. And I do, when reading scripts, I have to catch myself and go, it's okay for it not to be that. In fact, it shouldn't be, because it's 25 years later.
Did you advance at all past the 80s? Did you do any of the Beast Wars or any of that stuff?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't. I did not do Beast Wars. I think Beast Wars was on, like, I think when I was in college.
Or
maybe it was on when I was in high school. But, I mean, I wasn't really watching a whole lot of cartoons until, I think, Justice League came on, or Batman. I was watching Batman in high school, the Batman animated series. But, yeah, I didn't really follow, once Transformers went off the air in the 80s, I didn't really follow it. I kept buying the Marvel comic till it ended.
Yeah.
All the way to the end, I went with that. Yeah, complete run on that book. That's taken up a good, you know, foot of a long box or whatever. And I didn't really read the UK stuff. I wasn't really aware of it.
Yeah.
And then I picked up some of the Dreamwave comics when they came out, but I didn't stick with it then for that long, honestly. Yeah. I got confused with all the covers, which is funny for me saying that now, because we always have two or three covers on our books.
Right.
But I got confused, and once I bought the same comic book like twice or... Yeah, it happened to me twice, like two issues, where I went into the store like 2 weeks later, and I wound up buying the same comic just with a different cover, and it just annoyed me.
Right.
So I stopped buying them.
I've been there.
But now that I'm here at IDW, like when they said they asked me if I was interested in coming over to help out on the Transformers line, you know, I said, yeah, I'm interested, and I actually took all the IDW Transformers comics home, and in 1 week read all 85 of them or whatever they were. They're a lot. I read them all in 1 week and was like, all right, I think I can jump on this, and I've got a few ideas on how to, you know, tweak things here and there.
Do you know how many current titles are running in Transformers? How many different titles are there?
Well, I mean, the title count actually changes from month to month, but we have basically two continuities.
Okay.
We have the movie continuity, which are the books that follow exactly what's in the two movies and use that design of the characters and exist in the same universe as the movies. And then the other line, which is the comic book universe, reality, which started with IDW's first published comic, the first issue of Infiltrate, Transformers Infiltration.
Mm-hmm.
And there are multiple series that go into that, and the big one for the last year was the All Hail Megatron 12-issue series. I'm sorry, 16-issue series, as it goes to 16 issues before it ends. But usually there's like the main book, and then there's usually one or two other titles that exist in that same universe that, you know, don't tie in, like you have to read it, but tie in that it is part of that same universe. So we're usually hovering around three or four titles a month.
You
Did
said,
that make sense?
Yeah.
Or was that just a really long way? No, so I apologize.
No. You got movie continuity, you got regular timeline, and then you got little side stories that pop up here and there.
Yeah, but they tend to exist in the regular continuity. But like I said, I mean, we build them so that you don't have to read it all. Like if you just sort of want to follow the main story, it should be pretty clear to know which book that is. For the last year, it's been Transformers All Hail Megatron.
And then you mentioned, I guess, tie-ins to the movie. I mean, what kind of licensing did IDW acquire? Do you guys have to be careful about what you do with your storyline to not step on other licensing toes?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to contradict the movie.
Right.
In the movie universe, it's called the movie universe for a reason. The movie defines it. So we're given access to a lot of materials, but not, I mean, we don't have, like, full access. It's not like I have Michael Bay on speed dial or anything.
Right. Yeah.
But Hasbro's really good about, you know, helping us out and making sure that we have the most up-to-date information. But if you know anything about how movies are made, you can finalize a screenplay, and it can be, this is the final draft, and the final movie is still going to be different to one degree or another. I mean, things just change on set. An actor has, you know, finds a better way to, you know, a better line of dialogue or whatever. So, I mean, even when you're doing something like an adaptation, it's never going to fit perfectly, you know. What we do is we have the, you know, we know the basic story beats, and we hope that they don't change too drastically. And then we can build a series around those. So there was a prequel to the first movie and an adaptation to the first movie. And then after the movie came out, we did a sequel called Reign of Starscream, which was 5 issues. And then leading up to the one that just opened last weekend, we did 2 prequels, one that took place in the distant past on Cybertron that explains some of the stuff that goes on in the movie, and one that took place just prior on to the actual events of the movie on Earth that sort of builds the relationship between the Autobots and the human sort of task force.
So reading the IDW books will greatly enhance your movie-going experience then, right?
I think that's fair to say. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we certainly pick up on things, and yeah, they are. They're nice lead-ins, and not every question is answered in the movies.
Right.
And we have the ability to tell some stories that may not work as well on film, or, you know, they just don't have time to cover because they already have a 2.5-hour long movie.
Right.
And we can build on those things and add something more to the mythos. So it does. One of the things we are trying to do is sort of create a richer Transformers universe beyond just what you see in the movies. And we tend to focus more on Transformers than on humans.
Right. Have you seen the newest movie?
I have seen it.
Any thoughts?
It was big. It was really loud. I saw it on IMAX in just a packed theater, and so I was like down in the third row from the front and way over to the left, and so like everything was completely distorted looking up at it.
Yeah.
And I was just amazed at how large that screen was. I was more blown away by the sound system and the, like all of that than I even had time to take in the movie. I mean, I already knew the story, so I knew I was going to have a good time, but those action scenes were pretty intense.
As editor, when you're watching the movie, do you ever just kind of like get ideas or cringe at things?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the things that, especially when I started story editing in general about 10 years ago, gosh, it's been 10 years, I feel old, almost 10 years ago, like I certainly, every time I went to a movie, every novel I read, every comic book I read, man, I would just tear them apart in my head. Oh, I can't believe it. You know, it would have been so much more dramatic if they had just done this or this, or, you know, that's totally out of character for that guy to, you know, and it just, like, going to anything that was a fictional story wound up, it just, you know, like I killed like all of my favorite hobbies.
yeah.
You know, and what I've managed to do the last several years is I've managed to sort of, when I go into a movie or I start reading a novel, I can, if I want to, I can, you know, I can sort of put the editor aside and I can just go in and just sort of, yeah, enjoy it for what it is. I mean, you know, one of the things that, you know, I tell my friends and my brothers is that I've never seen Transporter 1 and I don't care. But Transporter 2 was awesome. There is no character development. There is no semblance of a story. There is no grip on reality. And it's just all action from beginning to end. And that's all I wanted, you know. So taking it on those terms, I thought it was a perfect movie.
Yeah.
However, if I had gone into that movie going, man, I really want to see this character develop. I want to see him learn something about life, and I want to learn something about the nature of humanity. I might have judged it a little bit differently, you know.
Right.
You know. So I try to approach material and sort of what its goals are as opposed to what my goals are, you know.
Gotcha.
I certainly can come out of a movie and go, it was terrible. Yeah, I mean, I went and saw, I saw Star Trek. I thought Star Trek was great, but I came out of that and I go, well, here are the one or two plot holes on that. But I still loved it. You know, again, I mean, I grew up loving Transformers, so these characters all have personalities that are fairly well defined in my mind. But that doesn't mean I'm right.
Right.
You know? Well, you know, so, I mean, but it was fun.
For those of us like you who grew up watching that 80s Transformers cartoon, how is the comic similar and or, I guess, different from what we're used to seeing?
Yeah, I mean, if you watched the 80s cartoon, the comic book is more in tune with that. Although there are differences, but they're, for the most part, they're superficial. I mean, one example is in that cartoon, in the origin story, the Autobots crash land on Earth, and then sort of for no particular reason, you wait 4 million years before they get reactivated.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I mean, it works. Right. It's just sort of, why? You know, I don't know why. It's just the way it is. That's the way it happened, I guess. And, you know, in our continuity, that whole thing, like, it didn't happen exactly that way because we just didn't see a reason to deactivate them for 4 million years.
Yeah.
But that's a very superficial difference, you know. I mean, it's not like you'll read this comic and not be able to follow it if you're familiar with the cartoon. If you're familiar with the old cartoon, you really shouldn't have too much trouble with our comics. And we also, you know, we try and build them so that, you know, each series, each mini series or one shot or whatever is built in such a way that if you come into it really on any issue, but particularly at issue one, we set everything up for you right there, everything you'll need to know for that series, you know. And we do that even on issue 3 or issue 4, because any issue, I mean, the old adage in comics land, I don't know if you're aware of this, is every comic book is someone's first. So if it's issue 4, if it's issue 84, if it's whatever, it's somebody's first comic. So you have to have a certain level of basic information about who the characters are. You got to name all your characters. You got to explain at least well enough so that people know what their role is. Mm-hmm. You know, Optimus Prime, you got to say he's the leader. You know, you have to do all these things. And, you know, sometimes we get criticized for doing it, but, I mean, we do it so that hopefully we'll keep our industry alive by allowing new readers to come in and instead of blocking them off by saying, no, don't read this. You won't understand. You know, I mean, we try to make all this stuff accessible. But I would say that it harkens back more to that original, the original conceptions of the characters and that sort of thing. Then, which is good because we have the movie universe. So if you like the movie universe, we have that. And they're different, and they're very different, which is, I think, a very good thing.
I've had some requests for me to ask you about more Dinobots.
Okay.
And also a mini featuring Soundwave.
A mini series featuring Soundwave.
Yep, those are the requests I have. More Dinobots and a mini featuring Soundwave.
Okay.
So
they are noted.
Get the wheels in motion.
I get to work. Unfortunately, I'm putting together a publishing plan, so you just filled two holes. Thank you.
Do you have a favorite Transformer?
Do I have a favorite?
Yeah.
You know, I get asked that a lot, and my stock answer is Blue Streak.
Yeah.
Who no one else on Earth apparently appreciates. But my stock answer is Blue Streak because when I was a kid, I forget how old I was, but for my birthday, there was this kid invited to my birthday party. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that well, but he gave me Blue Streak, the Transformer, and that was the first Transformer I'd ever seen, and I was, like, hooked immediately. And so Blue Streak has that, like, special place in my heart, but yeah. Man, you know, I mean, I love Omega Supreme. I never really know what to do with him from a story standpoint, because mm-hmm. he's Omega Supreme, and he's, like, pretty much unbeatable. but I do love him. There was one Christmas in, like, 1985 where it was like, if I didn't get Omega Supreme, I was going to have a bad year afterwards. Fortunately, my parents picked up on my subtle hints and were able to pull through and give me one. So that was like, a really great thing for me. But I don't know. Like, I mean, given different stories, I have different characters at different times. You know, I've always liked Ironhide. I've always liked Prowl. Mm-hmm. Optimus Prime, of course.
Yeah.
Cliff Jumper from time to time pops up, but I always sort of default back to Blue Streak.
Awesome.
And there will be more Dinobots.
More Dinobots.
There will be more Dinobots.
Excellent.
So you know, just, you don't think I'm just like, yeah, whatever. There actually is a plan for more Dinobots, and Soundwave will certainly be appearing, and I'll see if I can get him some time in front of the spotlight, so to speak.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time, Andy. You're obviously very busy.
Yeah, I'm sorry it's been so hard to track me down. It's been a rough week.
No, it's fine. Yeah, thank you, and hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of you for G.I. Joe in a month or so.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, man.
Cool, no problem.
Talk to you later.
Have a good one.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
So that's living in the now. How about you, listener? You living in the now? Let's check back in with our good friend, Brian. He let us know what he expected. Let's find out what he received.
All right, this is Brian, post Transformers 2, Revenge of the... What the hell was that? I don't know. It's not horrible. It's not, you know, god-awful like... I guess the negative reviews would point you towards. Honestly, if they would have done away with 75% of the human involvement and just had the action and the robot stuff, then it would have been a lot better. I mean, you could probably say that of a lot of Michael Bay, Bruckheimer-type movies, that if it was just action, it would have been awesome. And like the action, I like the effects. I've had enough of LaBoost. Don't really see why he's fronting movies like this. Megan Fox looked awesome. Thought the effects looked awesome. It was just all right. I don't hate it or anything. I don't think it was as good as the last one. I enjoyed, like I said previously, I enjoyed the first one enough to buy it on DVD. I'm not, like, upset or anything. I spent my money. I thought it was better than Wolverine Origins, I guess. But, you know, it's just kind of a mediocre thing. There wasn't, if you were hoping for a great story or a great dialogue or anything like that, then you were shit out of luck. If you just went for the explosions and the action and the dramatic poses and, you know, the pretty people and the pretty, you know, effects, then you're satisfied. And I think that's why it's going to make money, is a lot of people, when, you know, are you going to pay $15-$20 to go to the cinema to see something that's exactly the same if you watch it on television? Or are you going to spend that money to go see something that's more of an experience, that if you were going to watch it, you wanted to watch it on the big screen so you could see all the crazy stuff in it? And I think that explains why it's doing so well, probably more than anything, is that if you're going to spend that money, then you're going to go to something like that, not something that's going to be exactly the same when it hits DVD in 2 months. So that's pretty much my take on the movie. I mean, I give it a thumbs up if you're the kind of person that enjoys summer blockbuster popcorn movies. If you're looking for something else, you know, wait till Public Enemies comes out in another month, you know, because that's going to be an awesome movie. This wasn't an awesome movie, but it was fun. One of the things that bothered me about the movie, though, was
the thing that bothered me most wasn't the lack of story and, you know, lack of acting and things like that. It was actually the language. Obviously, if you've listened to more than just this episode of The Dollar Man, we cuss a lot, like to cuss, and, you know, don't make any apologies for our having done that. So it's normally not a problem. But, you know, this is something that's going to be geared towards kids that are going to want to go see this. Kids are who are buying the new toys, watching the new cartoon, and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of cussing in this movie for a movie that absolutely does not need it. And one of the things that, in particular, is it's not just the humans that are cussing. You know, the Autobots are dropping language, you know, or saying ass and bitch and all that kind of stuff. And it's just not necessary. It doesn't add anything to it. It's not needed for them to talk that way. I mean, I understand that they're trying to give them some personality by having a pickup, you know, I guess by saying that they're picking up mannerisms and behavior from, you know, humans and all that kind of stuff. But it's just not, it didn't add anything to it. It was just stupid. I mean, that's probably my biggest complaint or pet peeve with the movie is that stuff was stupid and unnecessary. But, I mean, other than that, there's nothing objectionable about the movie. There is lots of, there's death in it. I mean, it's obvious that a lot of soldiers die in the movie, even though it's not graphically on screen, and then some of the robots die too. So, I mean, it's not kid-friendly from that aspect either, but, you know, Americans, we desensitize ourselves to violence much more than we do second language. So I thought it was a little rough as far as that goes. A lot of soldiers die in the movie, and there's a lot of stupid, unnecessary language. I don't think some of that was necessary, especially for something that is going to be geared towards kids and teenagers. I thought it was excessive in that aspect. But, I mean, that's the biggest criticism that I'll give it, because, like I said, I wasn't going in expecting to see a really good movie. I was going in expecting to see your standard Michael Bay, let's blow some stuff up and have our heroic people look really good and heroic at all times, and that was exactly what I got. I think if you go in expecting anything else from a movie like this, you're setting yourself up for a disappointment you can't recover from. You know, that production company, that director is not going to give you something more than that. And I don't think this particular subject matter, Adam will disagree with me about anything can be great. You don't have to limit what you can do by the subject matter or whatever. And I disagree with that. I don't think Transformers is made to be anything more meaningful and better than that. I think that's exactly what it's designed for. And I think it delivers that. Not something I recommend if you're not, you know, straight up interested in what I've said and the way the commercials are. Not something I'm going to buy on DVD, but for, you know, wasting a couple of hours and $15 or whatever with beverage and movie ticket, I'm not disappointed. I thought it was all right. Like, you know, from our last review, I liked it better than Wolverine Origins and had less problems with it than I had with Watchmen. So that's basically it. That's my review. Thanks to everybody that called in. Thanks for Adam for slapping another show together with voicemails and whatnot. And we'll see you, see everybody later on another episode of Dollar Bin.
I'd like to thank you, fine listener, for taking this journey with us through Transformers time. We'll catch you on the flip side.